I've been assigned, those who wait for the Lord will take up their cross. When, you know, I was thinking about this, I was just thinking how, you know, I've been preaching about 25 years, and my cross, of course, hasn't been like some of those that have gone before that maybe have preached 50 years and such like that. So, you know, I just kind of feel inadequate in that way. But as I was studying this out, I was just thinking how that sometimes when we think about taking up our cross, sometimes what happens is that we we start looking at other people. We start looking at other people, and I'd like you to turn to John chapter 21. Because it seems as though that anytime we go through things, it's almost as though that we always have it worse than everybody else. It seems like, woe is me. And so what I want you to think about is that this was discovered long time ago and was performed long time ago, this same attitude of what about somebody else. So let's take a look at John chapter 21 and verse 15. And we see here it says, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Now, you might wonder why Jesus asked Peter three times, do you love me? But I think, and this is just my speculation, but I think it's because that he denied Jesus three times. And so he was giving him three opportunities to reinstate himself. And so he went ahead and he asked them three times about whether you love me or not. So it goes on there, it says, yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself, went where you wanted, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and said, Lord, who is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. And, you know, I look at that scripture there and I just think, you know, we're always looking over here and we're looking over there. And if I had that congregation or if I had this talent, I wouldn't have to go through this. And if I had this much money. And Paul, Jesus says, what I want you to go through is what I want you to go through. Never mind anybody else. And I want you all to think about that. You need to think about that. Is God has a cross for you, and it's not about, well, if, and look at him, how easy he has it. You don't know if he has it easy. Some people can deal with problems better than others. Some, a little thing happens and just shows all over them. And others, you'll never know. So in other words, carry your own and stop looking. Stop looking at other people. Stop looking at others and say, well, you know, if only I had it like them, I could carry mine. But since I don't, I'm going to quit. I don't like that word, quit. I don't like that word. You know, we're in it for the long haul. When we were baptized, and you know, I always think about this, when we're first baptized into Christ, we're excited. You know, I could go back to when I was baptized in Christ. I was raised in the church, so, you know, I heard baptism, 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 baptism. Finally, by the 10th year of my life, I said, you know, I better start be doing something about this. You know, I've known it since I was little, and I started understanding. I was writing notes and stuff like that, and so it's like, hey, what are you waiting for? And so then I went down the aisle and surrendered my life to Christ and was baptized into Him, and it was the greatest feeling. But the devil doesn't stop there. He knows Scripture too. He says, hey, Paul, you got a cross you got to carry, and I'll give it to you. And at 10 years old, you say, well, 10 years old? What do you have to carry? You got a lot to carry. You go to youth camp, and you teach, and you listen, and you counsel these young kids. They have big crosses. And they can't do anything about us. We can just up and leave. We can do whatever we want, change jobs or whatever. But they're stuck with their family. They're stuck with their situation. They can't get away. And you know, I just think, well, everybody has a cross. Let's pick it up. And let's get going. You know, I was just thinking, as Apostle Paul had such a big cross, and he gave a lot of people crosses when he wasn't a Christian. But he ended up having to carry a heavy, heavy cross. So let's take a look at Philippians chapter 1. And I'm going to speak from the preacher's point of view, because a lot of times you don't understand. I think sometimes people build up a preacher as some guy that all he does is preach, and he has no feelings, he has no problems, he preaches about crosses, but he don't have a cross, and everything's just perfect. I mean, he's got the ultimate job. I mean, people will tell me, boy, you're done with your week, aren't you? Your 1 hour week, you're done. Says, you got it easy. I would trade my 40-hour week for you any day. Well, I want to show you that we are human just like you, and we carry crosses. And when I go to church and I go there and I've got my sermon all prepared and the people start coming and they start sitting in their regular pews, you can take attendance by that, and you look over there and brother so-and-so and his family's not here, and so-and-so's not here, and you know what, that's a cross. And here I got this sermon all prepared, and it's for everybody, including that family, and they're not there. It's a cross. And then you want me to go over there to the back of the church, and you want me to shake your hand and say, everything's good, go, buddy. I'm carrying a burden. I'm carrying a cross. The other day I told my wife, I said, you know what? Preachers need wives like you who help carry that cross. I mean, I'm not going to share my wife. No, that's my wife. But you need a wife that will be with you and be able to read you. Some people are good at just kind of hiding their feelings, but sometimes I just have to tell my wife, I got a hard cross right now. I've got a heavy cross. Let's look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 15. One of the driving things that helps me as a minister, as a preacher, you could be a preacher, an elder, you can be one of those that preaches or teaches during the adult class, whatever it may be. If you're a part of the leadership there at the church, you need to understand this scripture. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 15. I think sometimes what we want is acceptance. I think sometimes we want to be feeling accepted. I like to use stories. For instance, I like basketball, and right now there's the Olympics, and you have the 92 Olympic team competing with the 2012 Olympic team, and they're saying, one says, I could have beat you, or you could have beat me, you know, whatever. And they're just arguing and stuff like that. And they don't realize that they were all playing for the same country. Who cares about that? You know, you got the same goal, and that's to win for the United States of America. And so Philippians chapter 1 and verse 15, and what they're doing is they want acceptance. 2012 guys want to be accepted by the 92 Olympic team. And the 92, you know, says, hey, we're not so old. You know, we were pretty good in our day, and they want acceptance. And we, as preachers, we want acceptance too. And when you go and you preach and you step on somebody's toes and you go to the back, you can feel the acceptance or non-acceptance. You can feel it in the fish hand, you know, or you have to grab it and you have to hold their hand up just to shake it. You know, and I think that's why Brother Don grabs your hand and he grabs your arm, you ever notice? And he goes like this, all right? Because he's been doing it for so many years. You know, he knows that. He's prepared. And I think maybe I ought to do that too. So, you know, but, you know, we have feelings. It's a burden. It's a cross. I wish I could just say, you know, we go up there, we preach, people get converted, we baptize them, man, they just grow in the church and they're Christians for many, many years. That's not the way it happens. There's battles after battles. There's daily battles, there's weekly battles, there's monthly battles. There's battles you didn't even know about. I found where you find, oh, I didn't know so-and-so was so upset. And that person talked to so-and-so and so-and-so and so. And you're like, whoa, Lord, I got to put out all kinds of fires. I thought I was supposed to be preaching. I'm not a fireman. God says, bear your burden, carry your cross. Philippians chapter 1, verse 15. Philippians chapter 1, verse 15, it says there, it is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. And you know, I read this and I read this and read this, and I say, how can that be? Apostle Paul, writing to all these churches, straightening out all the problems of these churches, and some of them didn't want to be straightened out. And you see how in Corinthians, he fought against those that said that you're not an apostle. You're just some false apostle. And he writes a whole chapter saying, this is what I believe. This is what I do for God. He had to defend himself. Now, can you imagine if people would have just left him alone and just let him preach? But you know what? That was his cross. That was his cross. So when you read this, it says, it is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry. Some people will preach for the wrong reasons. I think some people go to Bible college for the wrong reason. They go only for a husband or only for a wife. You know? I think there could be a lot of wrong reasons for a lot of things, including baptism. I've seen people where they wanted to date somebody and they were baptized so they could date that person. And they follow the whole plan. They go over there and they listen to the preacher, they go in Bible study with the preacher, and they're baptized by the preacher, and boom, they got the girl. So why wouldn't people preach out of the wrong reason? Verse 16, the latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preached Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. I think of this and I feel so bad for him, because he's there suffering for Christ. He'd been beaten more than anybody else. He'd been stoned more than everybody else. He'd been ridiculed more than everybody else. And yet people were still attacking him. And you know what he says? Verse 18. But what does it matter? Those are hard words to say. What does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. Wow, those are some powerful words. He says, what does it matter? You know, like my Uncle Dave was saying that, you know, people pick on him, and then he says that they don't know all my life. They could pick on more. And I've always thought of it this way. If they're picking on me, then they don't have time to be picking on somebody else. Because I'm the object. I'm the target. What does Apostle Paul say? He says, what does it matter? He says, the important thing that Christ is preached. You know what that means? That means there's going to be crosses that you're going to have to carry that shouldn't be there. But at least those that are giving you that cross, they're preaching Christ, and people are getting converted. That's hard to swallow. You would say, hey, just do your preaching. Let me do my preaching, leading the part of the congregation or the kingdom that where I'm at, and let me do God's will. But apparently they had too much time on their hands that they were attacking Paul too. Paul says, oh, well, it doesn't matter. At least Christ is being preached. You know, I just admire him for that because he said many things that I have a hard time following his example. This is one of them. Because I'm not somebody that, I'm not a duck with, you know, the water comes on and just goes right off. And he also says, remember he says, if only I could go to hell instead of the Israelites, if they could go to heaven. I can't do that. I'm not at that point yet. And I just think, wow, Apostle Paul, you understand the depth of eternity. You understand why Christ came. It's not about you, Apostle Paul. It's about Christ. It's about eternity. So you're willing to bear that cross, even if it shouldn't be necessary. You know, I just think, wow, what an incredible thing. Now, when he says to carry your cross, some may say, well, it gets too heavy. I say, keep counting on God for strength. I'm not saying that it's too heavy. It's just way too heavy. Because when you look at the example of Elijah, one of the most powerful men that ever lived. And I think of the great victory that he had. All those false prophets that were killed because he stood up on Mount Carmel. And he stood up firm and he says, bring it on. He says, here, we have an altar here and you have an altar. Call on your God. Get that fire down. We'll see whose God is the most powerful. And he says, come on. And he waited. And they cut themselves and he teased them a little bit about their God being in the bathroom and stuff like that. And then finally says, okay, it's my turn. He says, bring water. He says, go ahead and put water all over, dump it, just saturate it, make it soggy so it's impossible. And then he called down fire from heaven and God just shot that fire down and boom. And the people of Israel were rallied to do what was right. And it was a great thing. Until Jezebel heard about it. The wicked woman Jezebel says, I will have your life. And what did Elijah do? Elijah says, I'm done, God. Didn't he say that? He says, I'm the only one. And I'll tell you what, sometimes our burdens get like that. We say, I'm the only one. And we say, I'm the only one. God, I'm the only one. I know, I'm just the only one. Because our burdens, our cross gets so big that we can't see God. What did God say? God said, I have 7,000 people that have not bowed the knee. I think that's a lot of people that Elijah missed because he thought just himself. But you know what God did after that is God replaced him. Because Elijah had too much. You know, I think about that and I just think, Lord, help me. Even if it looks so bad, to count on you. And you know what? It could be that bad. I want you to look at John chapter 19. John chapter 19. You know, I've talked to some of the young kids there at camp, and they talk about how that they are not from a Christian home. And they talk about the drug abuse, and they talk about maybe even the sexual abuse and such like that. And they're all fired up. They love the atmosphere. They love all the young people there and they love saying to God. And they love the goal of making heaven. And they love all that stuff. And they say, but Paul, I got to go back. And I feel so bad for them. I wish I could just adopt them and say, hey, come on over. They're not going to be adopted. Their family's not going to get rid of them. I just think, oh, how terrible, how sad. And then I just pray. And I pray that when they get older and when they're able to move out and get on their own, that they will never forget the time they had serving God. John chapter 19 and verse 16, and we're talking about Jesus Christ here. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. Here they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. Here we have Jesus carrying his own cross. But this is only one account. The three other accounts that are mentioned about him carrying his cross, Jesus was not able to finish carrying his cross. When I look at this example, you see Jesus was God. He was the creator. I see Jesus here, and I see the awesomeness of Jesus, where he created the heavens, the earth, and the stars that we've been talking about. But he came down to be just a man, just like us. And I believe he did because even in Hebrews it says that we have a high priest that is able to sympathize with our weaknesses, being the weaknesses of humanity, of being human. And it says there, let us then what approach the throne with confidence. Because he went through the same thing we have. He didn't cut any corners. And so there he is in John. If you just read John, you think of him. They put the cross on him, and as he's carrying that cross, he goes all the way to Golgotha, and he's crucified. But that's not what happened. You look at Matthew 27, you see, and it's not in disagreement, it's just that when you read the Gospels, you see that someone puts a little bit more detail in there. So we see here in Matthew chapter 27. Let's take a look there. Matthew chapter 27 in verse 32. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 32. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink it. So here we have the story that Jesus, as in John, was walking with the cross. In Matthew, we have where there was a man named Simon out there, and they grabbed the cross, or they forced him to carry the cross. I believe what happened, and the many scholars believe, is that as Jesus was walking with this cross, he was carrying this cross, with all the blood loss and all the pain, the suffering that he went through from the whipping and such like that, drained him of his ability to continue to carry that cross. So as he was carrying that cross, he may have stumbled and fell and landed in the dirt with the blood turning to mud. And they said, this is not going to stop. And they looked over to Simon and look at Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15 and verse 21 says, a certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. All right, you see a little bit, the story's adding up here. So we have Simon from Cyrene. Then we have Simon, he's the father of two boys, the man Alexander and Rufus. So apparently he and his two boys were probably crossing through Jerusalem, and as they were going, there's probably a great big crowd of people watching Jesus, because there was a lot of people screaming out hateful things to Jesus. So they were there, but they may have just been caught by that crowd and says, hey, let's find out what's going on. And so as he was standing there with his two boys, you see that the soldiers grabbed him and said, you take that cross. Now let's take a look at Luke chapter 23. So we're building up this story to find out about this cross. Luke chapter 23 and verse 26. It says, as they led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. Okay, so now we finally figure out what order was this parade. You have Jesus, who had fell down under the weight of the cross, there mixed with blood and mud. As he's walking down there, they see this man standing there with his two boys, Alexander and Rufus. And he sees these two boys, and they say, you carry the cross. So then they force Jesus to walk alone to the crucifixion with Simon carrying that cross behind. You know, I look at that and you say, well, Jesus said for us to carry the cross. Yes, we're to carry the cross, but sometimes it's too heavy. And we need to be willing to accept help from someone else to help us carry the cross the rest of the way. Did you see Jesus? Did he refuse it? He allowed that to happen. Who was leading? It was Jesus. Jesus was in the front. Simon is in the back, carrying that cross. You know, our cross can get real, real heavy. But Jesus understands firsthand how heavy our cross can get. Turn it over to God. Let us stand.